Hello, everybody. We are gathered here for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaranawanaya. Today is Saturday, 8th March 2024. The session is 174th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. I would warmly like to welcome Venerable Rohini to this session. She has kindly stepped in for this week, and I would like to welcome everyone who is participating via Zoom, Facebook live stream, and anyone who may be watching later on. Our program, as usual, will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness, followed by this week's topic, which is a continuation from last week. And we will then move on to any reports that we have received, followed by questions that we have received, we will hopefully receive on the program. To start the session, I invite Venerable Rohini to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Thank you, Sonali. Good day, everyone. Today we are going to do some walking practice. So before we start the walking or sapmana, I'd like to give some guidance. Maybe you all doing the same thing, but I just wanted to remind. So when you choose a path to walk up and down, the best is going up and down, but if you don't have enough space, so whatever the way you are going around or something, it doesn't matter. But wherever you start, just stand, you know, and maintain the balanced posture. So a standing posture, the balanced way you stand, you can stand. And for a minute or so, you can close your eyes. Once you close your eyes, you cut down 20% of thoughts. When you close your eyes, the mostly we grab objects through eyes. So when we close, so less thoughts come towards the mind from outside. So we can observe that standing posture while closing your eyes. So for a minute or so, then you can recollect your mind. I mean, it's always going here and there, but when you close, it is easy to keep in one place. I'm not saying you should keep it in one place, but it is easy to be aware of standing posture. Once you establish that kind of calmness, then you can start to walk. So the starting, you can walk in a simple and comfortable manner. No speedy or no slow. So you just walk up and down, then you can realize what is the best speed right now. Because it depends on the time, it depends on the day, and it depends on your mind condition. If you are busy, if you have had a busy day, then it is hard for you to maybe going slow. So likewise, it depends on your body and it depends on your mind right now. Whatever it says, just follow it. So the speed is just ask your body to decide which speed I should go. So accordingly, you can walk up and down or go around and observe the feelings of through the body. It doesn't restrict to the soul. Whatever you feel from the surface, from the ground you walk on, but also the other feelings coming through your body. So while you are walking, maybe how you keep your hands will give you some feelings. And feelings from ache and pain also will be there. So whatever the feelings, you can observe it then. So there's no restrictions to the observing only the feet, only the sensations from the feet. Just observe whatever the feeling arises right now. So shall we do maybe 15 minutes walk, mindful walk? So I start from now. Okay, everyone. I hope you all had a good mindful walk. Over to you, Sonali.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. So next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. The topic for this week, which is a continuation from last week, is mindfulness-based stress reduction. So with that, I would like to invite Venerable Rohini again to start the talk on today's topic.
Okay, it is mindfulness-based stress reduction. Okay. Hello, everyone. Mindfulness-based stress reduction. I think the topic and the poster write-up also, I'm pretty sure that Venerable Swaminathan's already discussed about it and in detail. So I'm not going to discuss about the topic, stress reduction, mindfulness-based stress reduction. It is a kind of technical way of manipulating people who are having a strong stress. So I'm not going to talk about it, in detail about the topic. And the poster is You Can't Stop the Waves, But You Can Learn to Surf. So I would like to talk about how you can learn to surf. So that is my main focus. Stress, mindfulness, and the stress. So stress is a normal part of the life. Every day we feel the stress. Everybody feels the stress due to many, many reasons. There are plenty of reasons are there for us to be stressed. With the home environment, with children, husband, wife, and other relationships, in at work environment, the colleagues, managers, whoever deal with, and things also we deal with, and the places we deal with, all those are leading us to have a stressful life. So the stress is a common thing, but when it gets worse and worse, it creates many health issues like high blood pressure, heart diseases, diabetes, depression, and all anxiety. So all sort of things. And they believe that it weakens the immune system also. So it is a kind of something prone to sickness also. So in that sense, the stress is a very a stressful topic actually. It is a stressful topic. It means also very stressful. Anyhow, the too much desire and the fear makes stress. So I feel like that. Because of the fear and the desire, when we have too much desire to have something, to become something, so to get something, and if we have the fear of losing something, or whatever we expect, if we have a fear of not to get it or expect it, then the aversion or the desire or the conceit involved to lead the stress. So these are the two main emotional feelings, the desires and the fear. Is the most involved emotional feelings towards the stress. So the stress handling is, because of those things, stress handling is so important. So in here, we talk about the mindfulness as a way to stress handling. So the being mindful is one way of stress. Stress handling. That is, of course, it is the, I think, best way of stress handling. Rather than having any kind of medicines or tablets or anything, the mindfulness is the best. So, in here, mindfulness on especially on thoughts and feelings, is the what we need. Without recognizing our feelings or without recognizing thoughts, we can't stop our desire or fear about whatever we are facing. So understanding and recognizing the thoughts and feelings, the emotional feelings, are what we need actually. So how do we do this? So that is the most important thing, because we can say, okay, so everybody has the bad and the good qualities. Everybody has. There are no any good persons or the bad persons. Everybody has the bad and good in certain level. But the thing is, we can't understand it. Whenever what is happened, whatever happened, we tend to judge people or this incident or the things. Even we think sometimes that person is very good. And whenever that person has done something wrong, a very tiny thing, we tend to judge that person and thinking of his or her good qualities. So that is the tendency. You know, the natural tendency is like that. That is how mind work. So that is the problem. So for that, to overcome that, we need to practice the mindfulness. So how we are going to practice this mindfulness? So whenever someone can say, okay, you can observe the thought. But it is so difficult to observe the thoughts because of the, how do you call it? The mind is habitually jumping from one to the other. So it is a distracted mind. You're always having the distracted mind. So it is very hard to, or difficult to observe the subtle informations with the distracted mind. So the habitual way is there always. So we need to have the kind of focused mind. So we need to focus well to something. So that means we need to have a strong, unwavering mindfulness. Without that strong, unwavering mindfulness, we can't establish mindfulness or the clear comprehension. Without that kind of mindfulness and the clear comprehension, we can't see the subtle thoughts that are leads to stress, the subtle feelings that are leads to stress. So first thing, we need to have a focused mind. Then only we can understand, then only we can see the distracted mind or the distracted thoughts. So for that, so what we recommend, usually we do this observing the breath. So observing the breath is something, a physical process. Why we use this physical process is something we need to think about. The physical process is a tool to be mindful, because the mind is very, it's like it's jumping from one object to the other all the time, and it is not in a calm or quiet place. It's always jumping from one to the other, and it is so difficult to keep in one place. And it is, so what we do, we take the physical process to keep the mind in one place. That is why we use the breath, or that is why we use the walking. So we use the physical process to keep the mind in one place. So that is why we use the physical awareness. So when we observe the breath in the first, as a beginner, we need to recognize the breathing. We need to recognize where we can find the process as a physical process. We know we breathe. So today a lady came and I was talking with her, and she said, okay, I know I am breathing. Yes, you know I am breathing. So I asked, how do you know? Then she said, okay, I am aware. So breathe in and breathe out, I know. So I am living. Yes, I know. Then what I said, no, you need to have some kind of evidence that you know. So we can say we know that breathe in and breathe out, we know. It is easy to say, but we need to prove ourselves and the others, or especially from ourselves, we need to prove that I know that I am with breath. To prove that, we need to have some physical evidence. So the first thing is we need to know the physical evidence. So that is the physical evidence is with the breath, mindfulness on breath is the feeling on in breath and out breath. So you feel somewhere in nostrils or somewhere the in breath is touching or the out breath is touching. That is the first thing we need to learn. And if someone is unable to find the breath, so we advise, okay, you can find the tummy movements. So rising and falling of the tummy with the inhale and exhale. So that is also something we can keep on the mind to keep in one place. So whenever that you feel, whenever that you can recognize, whenever that you understand that feeling of the in-breath and out-breath, wherever you it touches, then we can see the difference between in-breath and out-breath. So the in-breath has different qualities and the out-breath has different qualities. These are not equal. So sometimes in-breath is cool, sometimes in-breath is warm. Sometimes out-breath is cool, sometimes out-breath is warm. So we can see the difference. So to see the difference, one can establish some kind of mindfulness. So if you are not still aware of where it touches, then you can't feel the difference. So once you have kind of established mindfulness to see the breath is touching somewhere, then you can see the difference. So it is a kind of progress of mindfulness. If you can see the differences between in-breath and out-breath, sometimes warmer, sometimes cooler, sometimes long, sometimes short. So these are the qualities we can see in-breath and out-breath. So sometimes you can see or you can feel in-breath is coming through, going through left nostril, and in-breath is going out through the right nostril. Likewise, the where it goes, also you can see. All these things are helpful to establish mindfulness. And when you see those things, when you recognize those things, the clear comprehension is also developing. This is the main important thing. With the clear comprehension and the focused mind, the brain is also changing. With the changing brain, we can have a kind of develop parts of the brain which are responsible for problem solving, stress management, and thinking. Likewise, the humanity in there. So when we are mindful enough, when we are doing mindful more and more practice, then that part of the brain is developing. That is how we gain the clear comprehension and the mindfulness as well. So when we have that kind of information, when we gather from our practice or extracting and understanding these subtle details, we can develop clear comprehension. The clear comprehension is the main important thing when we do practice mindfulness. So if someone is continuing on breath like that for the mindfulness, so various stages of in-breath and out-breath we can see. What are those important stages are we can say that when the inhale and the exhale, when we feel it already came to the middle part. So whenever the inhale and exhale come to the gross level, we can feel it. So as a beginner, we feel that the gross inhale and the gross exhale we can feel. And then later on, when we develop more and more mindfulness, when we develop more and more awareness, then we can see the subtle beginning of the in-breath, very subtle way, very subtle and very fine beginning of the in-breath. And then it goes to the maximum level or threshold level, and then it move, goes or calm down and then disappear. So one can observe this when that person establishes in a certain level of mindfulness on breath. So the in-breath start in a subtle way and then it goes to the maximum feeling, its gross feeling is there, and then it's fade away and then the disappear. And later, a very tiny time later, it's like there's a gap, and then the exhale start in a subtle way and it goes to the maximum and disappear, allowing the next breath in or inhale to give a time. So that is what later on we can develop. So I think here in this group there are many people who are developing that manner. So whoever not develop, it doesn't matter. This is the path. This is the way we understand the mindfulness, as well as this is the way we practice the mindfulness. While we are practicing like in this way, we develop the clear comprehension or the nuvana or the wisdom. That wisdom lead us to see the other things, very subtle things. Because up to this level, when someone is developed their mindfulness up to this level, that means they have their kind of focused mind. With the focused mind, you can see very subtle things. So the thoughts are very subtle things. It is not like a physical process. It is the mental process are very speedy and very subtle. So if someone want to see the mental process, then someone need to establish kind of establish mindfulness. Otherwise you can't see. So that is why we going through this process, the breath as a mindful object, and then breathe, mindful on the process of breath. And when someone is established up to that level, then with that mindfulness, someone can deal with the pain or the feelings, I mean bodily feelings. While you are sitting, you can feel the back pain, the knee pain, and you can't see, keep the posture for long, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes. It is long enough for to have a distraction from the pain and so on. That is the time you can deal with the pain. Once you have established the mindfulness, then you can deal with the pain. So when you have an unpleasurable feeling or pleasurable feeling, especially the unpleasurable feeling, it is like a pain, pulsive, stabbing, burning, or whatever the pain. So pain is there. So with the pain, you develop the aversion towards the pain. So when someone has developed the mindfulness up to this level, that person can bear the pain and observe the pain. So once someone see through the pain, that is a different level of clear comprehension. So seeing through the pain, the especially unpleasurable pain. So when we talk about the pleasurable one, it is so hard to recognize it. But if you can recognize the pleasurable feelings or the pain and looking through it, you can see the desire for that. If there is any pleasurable feelings, you have a desire. If there is an unpleasurable feeling, then you have an aversion towards it. So you can see that if you are established mindfulness up to this level on breath. Otherwise, you always change your posture or complain about it, or you always try to change it or reject it. So, and the neutral feelings is are also there. When someone is established mindfulness up to this level, then that the when the then that person can see the gap between inhale and exhale, that is a neutral feeling. If someone is see that gap, that is a the neutral feeling. So only you can realize or recognize the neutral feeling in meditation, I guess, because day-to-day life, it is so hard to recognize. So it is a natural evolution, actually, because if you are looking through the physical phenomena, physical process, then only you can develop that kind of tolerance, and it develop with the clear comprehension and the mindfulness. So the tolerance and the resilience develop through mindfulness and the clear comprehension. So that is what I wanted to show in this manner. And once someone is established that kind of mindfulness, so that means you can see most of the things, or especially most of the thoughts and emotional feelings, without judgment. Once you develop at that point, up to that point, then it is not easy, but you are having like a license. You have like a condition that you can see through the thoughts, or see pain, not the pain, mental phenomena without judgment. Once you develop into that level, so the mindfulness is so strong, and you are not bounded with the emotions. So you are not, when you have a lustful feeling, you don't go with that. You are not trying to get rid of it, or you are not trying to entertain it. So usually what we do when we have a lustful feeling, we entertain it. When we have aversion or anger, we like to get rid of it. We like to destroy it. We like to let it go. We try to let it go, but it doesn't let go. But if it go, it keep aversion with you. So this is what happened. But up to this level, if someone's mindfulness is strong enough to that level, then that person, or the person who are developed the mindfulness, can observe without judgment, can observe these thoughts without engaging with that. So lustful feeling is there, and no lustful feelings is there. That person observe lustful feeling or the absence of lustful feeling in the same manner, without any judgment. So lustful feeling is there, okay, lustful feeling is there. That's all. There is nothing for me to entertain. So that person know it. So it's not like, you know, analyzing at that moment. So day to day you can analyze it. Even day to day life you can analyze in a slow manner. If you have a lustful feeling, if you have anger, so you can analyze it in the day to day life also. Up to, I mean the mindfulness practice is developed up to this level. That person should develop up to this level. Then the person can analyze the mind whenever the thought or the emotional feelings come. You can analyze it and you can decide what to do. So you have that authority sometimes, not all the time. Maybe it depends on the aversion or the lustful feeling. So strong or not. So if it is so strong, it is maybe hard. So then you need to more practice mindfulness again and again. However, the mindfulness leads, that kind of practiced mindfulness, practiced minds, leads to get unjudgmental thoughts or unjudgmental feelings toward the lustful or absence of lustful feelings. Also the aversion or the loving kindness, or the simple kindness. Or agitated mind, you have now no calmness is there. It's agitated and you are very busy, or you are very, entangled with delusions or very negative thoughts, but you are not bother about it. We just think, okay, it is a mind, it is the way mind acts sometimes. And also when the mind is clear, transparent, is no ignorance there, and it is very clear, clarity is there, then you are not entertaining it also. It's a mind, that is how mind. So once you develop into that level, so distracted mind is there, but I don't care. And the calm mind is there, but I don't care. So up to that level, when you develop up to that level, you can realize, okay, my mind is like this and the others are the same. So then you have developed kind of a strong quality that you can keep other people or you can observe other people without judgment. Someone is angry and when someone is blaming you, you can understand, maybe without any reasons, they blame you. But you can understand time to time that the mind is like that. My mind is like that, so the someone else's mind can be the same way. The mind is having the same manner. The mind act in the same manner. If it is with you or it is with me or if it is with someone else, it doesn't matter. With time to time change with the lustful to the unlustful, with the aversion to the loving kindness, with the agitated mind to the clear transparent mind, with the ignorant to the non-ignorant mind. So likewise, the mind is changing from time to time with different angle. It is how I feel, it is how my mind is working, and the same way the other people's are facing the same. Same way. So when we can understand that, it is so easy to forgive someone. And it is very easy to forget things, especially the negative things. So what we need to do, we need to have that kind of path leading to that up to this level. That is what we are doing here, actually. This group is for that, actually. So I think you all are doing the same, but I just wanted to remind you that this is the way. This is the way to a stress reduction. If we want to do the stress, reduce stress, the calm mind, we need to practice for 10, 15 minutes at least per day. When you practice 10, 15 minutes, that cleanse the whole day defilements. Whatever we entangled with the whole day, whatever we distracted with the whole day, the negative or positive, whatever it is, so we can cleanse them with the 10, 15, at least 30 minutes mindfulness practice. While we are doing practice on mindfulness with the physical process, beginning with, and when you have that kind of mindfulness, the established mindfulness in a physical process, then you can find, you can deal with the physical pain. And in the same way, you can deal with the mental pain. The mental pain is the negative thoughts and feelings. So when you deal with your own negative feelings and negative thoughts, then you can realize the others are the same way. They are behaving in the same way, even for children. When your children are not listening to you, they should listen to you, they should obey to you, but they are not doing all the time. So there should be reasons. So usually we don't care about the reason. Usually what we do, we are trained to judge. We are trained to judge, and accordingly we behave, we react. If we are reacting, that means that is a leading phenomena to stress. Whenever we react, that means we can respond. But we are reacting, that means we are trying to have stress. So we are not reacting without any reason. So when there is a stress, we react. So when there is a reaction, that means the stress is developing like a wall with stones up to one on one. So likewise. So however, what I want to say, so you need to recognize those thoughts, and then you need to be aware of those thoughts and not to try getting rid of those unwholesome thoughts, or just not to encourage wholesome thoughts. That is also very important. Whenever you encourage wholesome thoughts, that means you are having a desire for that. Whenever it is not happening, then the stress is there. So the both sides are acting on stress, either unwholesome or wholesome. Unwholesome, when you are trying to get rid of unwholesome, then there's a stress. When you are trying to encourage wholesome thoughts, that's also stressful when it is not happening. So likewise, you need to, in the middle part, you need to see most of the time. I am not saying 24 hours you can be in the middle part, but it is easy when you go through this path. When you are practicing, or when you are starting with the physical phenomena or physical process, and when you go through this path gradually, you will become this kind of resilient nature or calm nature. So for a beginner, what I want to say, or even for some kind of practitioner, start with a small time, at least few minutes or half an hour at least, and be patient. Mindfulness is a journey. It is a kind of like a, it's not something you are going to stop somewhere, and don't expect any immediate results also. That is also a stress. Even when you are practicing mindfulness, it is a stressful thing, because until you get that kind of mindfulness, established mindfulness, you are stressed. So you need to be patient. You need to be think that it is a journey. So I am in a, maybe in the middle, in maybe in the beginning level, whatever it is, day by day, or right now it is a new person. Even for a very big, good practitioner, right now, if you are sitting, if you are walking, this is sit or walk as a new practitioner without any expectation. That is a very good way of reducing the stress through mindfulness to become mindful person. So that is also one thing I want to say. And mindfulness with an open mind. It is so curious thing, but you need to be very less approachable, or the mindfulness should be in an open mind without any judgment. So if I can be mindful today for 10 minutes, then don't judge it. And when tomorrow it will not happen, may not happen. So don't judge your practice. Don't give a face value to your practice. So today is a good day, yesterday it is not good, or yesterday wasn't good, or today is good, or like no judgment. And include different exercises to take the journey through, like, you know, mindful, not only sitting or walking. Okay. Otherwise, you can use the eating and drinking, or washing the face, or bathing, or whatever the activities you can use also to be mindful, and make it as a habit. So doing that, I hope the mindfulness, according to our topic, the mindfulness-based stress reduction, you can go through that path. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Sonali.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. That was something that we all needed. Stress is something that most of us suffer from. So I'm glad we had to go through that and listen to it about mindfulness, how it helps us with stress. Next on the agenda is the Q&A session and any reports that we have received to present it to Venerable Rohini. So for that, I invite Samantha to start this section.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonali, and Avasarai, Venerable Rohini. Thank you for that wonderful talk on how to develop mindfulness, I mean, to yeah, how to develop mindfulness and help reduce stress, that really helped me. And there was a lot of everyone else as well. And that was really, really valuable, sadly, venerable. Rohini. And hello, everyone. So today, there is one report that we've received, which I'll read out later. And if anyone has any questions on today's talk on how to reduce stress through mindfulness, please ask at the end of the session. You get an opportunity to ask Venerable Rohini, and also any questions regarding your practice as well. So before I go to read the reports, I'll just remind quickly everyone, especially any newcomers to the program that may have joined today. Sonali has just put the basic guidance on how to meditate in the chat. You can see in the chat now, and you can do your meditation and submit your experiences in the form of a report to Bhante, and then Bhante will give valuable guidance on how to progress in your meditation. And depending on, you know, what you've written, he can give personal guidance as well. You can, there's also two, as you can see, two helpful video links put together by Nisarana Vanaya on both mindful walking and mindful sitting. And you can allocate some time for the practice daily, as Venerable Rohini encouraged us as well earlier in the talk, starting with, say, walking practice and then sitting. And then you can gradually build up from, say, half an hour to 2 hours per day. And that will really help with the establishing mindfulness. Then please submit your experiences in writing, both on the mindful walking and also on mindful sitting, to Bhante or Venerable Rohini. To how to do this, there's an example in the chat. If you have a look, Sonali has just put it in the chat. For example, if you're walking, you can describe any prominent sensations, the texture of the ground, any pressure points on the sole, and the feet, how the body weight shifted. Similarly, in sitting meditation, again, you can refer to any prominent sensations of the incoming and outgoing breath at nostrils, and rising or rising of the abdomen, you know, that sort of thing, whatever that comes to your forefront through mindfulness. And then write your mindful experiences also on daily activities during the day. So it's not just, you know, practice on the cushion or walking alone. You know, we have to be mindful throughout the day as well. So that will increase our mindfulness throughout the, you know, as well, the concept, yeah, mindfulness as well helps to increase, develop our mindfulness. Then in the session, Bhante or Venerable Rohini will give valuable guidance for your own practice and how to progress with your meditation. So this is a good opportunity to get some personal guidance. And you can send your reports either in the Google form. I think Sonali has just posted it there in the chat, or by email using the link, the links provided. Again, they can be they can be found in the chat. So again, you know, do make use of this opportunity through your meditation reports to get personal guidance from Bhante or Venerable Rohini, and continue with your mindfulness practice during the week according to the advice given to your practice. So that's a very helpful. Thank you. Finally, the recordings of the sessions are also available. I think that they can be found in the link as well. So that would be very helpful to revisit. So now, let me just see. I think that we've got one report so far, and I'll read that report now before we go on to any questions, or and also if you have any questions on your meditation, do raise your hand or put it in the chat, and I can read it out to Venerable Rohini if you need any guidance. Okay, let me just get the first question. So the first report we have is on mindful walking. So walked outdoors with shoes on. Attention was on feet movements. Pace was quick as the daily exercise walk was used as mindful walking. Other things noticed were sound of bird song, rushing of leaves, underfoot contact of clothing on body, weight shifting from left to right, and warmth of sun and breeze on the skin. Noticed thoughts coming and going in between steps, but these were not disturbing. Steps have slowed going uphill and quickened on flatter areas. Monotonous feet movements noted, but it was not experienced as boredom, but as things passing in slower motion. Alertness in mind present when crossing roads, etc. Spaciousness and peacefulness in mind. Walked for 40 minutes. So that was the report on mindful walking. Now, mindfulness during the day. There are changes to daily routine which were resisted in mind at the beginning, but now there's no internal conflict. Changes absorbed as part of life. When others talk about world news and complain, there's no urge to agree or disagree. This is not as apathy, but as acceptance of how world and human conditions are. When people ask for help, it is easier to see the opportunities that are useful for both the giver and receiver. Some requests for help bring out gut feeling of dissonance. In these times, took more time to wait for more information before acting. It is easier to mentally scan how the day had gone before bed and note situations where different responses that may be more healthy, which events have gone well, what behaviors to avoid. This has helped go to sleep with a more peaceful mind. And now imagine putting tomorrow, and now, sorry, and also now imagine putting tomorrow's work down in mind before bed, like seeing it all written down and leaving in an in tray to pick up following day, in brackets, if still alive. Dear Venerable Rohini, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Terwan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Venerable.
Okay, thank you, Samantha. Yeah, it's a good report and a good habit also. I can see that to prepare for next day and look at past day, how you did past 24 hours is a good way of being mindful, because when you recognize what you did in the last 3-4 hours or last whole day, so that means you are mindful most of the time. So that is how you can remember. And if you can contemplate on that, if you can analyze that, and if you can divide your day into good and bad, then the next day is very easy, because you are having kind of analyzing thoughts, analyzing mind into good and bad. And so mostly when you analyze the day into good and bad, you always have a trend to get rid of bad or get minimize the bad. So that is a kind of progressing way of having a good life, when we consider the having a peaceful life. It is, I can see that here. But when you have that good and bad, analyzing the good and bad and focusing on tomorrow, and it is a good way of having a life also. And here I noticed that persistence and no urge. So that is also, I think, it's a good habit. Whenever the changes happen, maybe it's abrupt changes, or maybe it is a planned changes, but still, if you are, it is a change for your body and the mind, it is a change. But if you can resist very quickly, that is a peaceful, that is a habit of peaceful mind, that is a habit of mindful person. So I think this person is practicing so long and developing kind of mindfulness that can analyze their mind and whatever the thoughts and whatever the past. So it is a good way of developing the clear comprehension as well. So, and the walking also is a good way of practicing. So you are doing the exercise walking as well as the mindful walk in the same way. So that is also good. And they're observing the whatever happening outside your body or outside your world is also that it's a good way of keeping the alert while you are crossing the road or while you are stepping up the staircase or whatever. It is also a kind of alertness for the physical process. That's good. And it's a good report as well. I think I don't have any many other comments, and it is good. You need to practice. And there's no anything, I think there's no sitting. Okay. So next time maybe you can post a sitting one also, then it's a complete one. So thank you for sending us that report, and please continue in the same way.
Thank you, Venerable. Yeah, I think we learned a lot from that report as well. Thank you, and from your guidance, Venerable. I don't think we have any more reports. That's the only report that we received so far. I'll just ask if anyone has any questions they'd like to raise regarding... there's one question. Hiranti. Yeah. I think... can she unmute herself? Has she got permission given to unmute?
Thank you. Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Endover Rodney. I just want to ask, when you listen to somebody do you have to be very non-judgmental and without any feelings, you should listen, or...
Sorry, Hiranti, we can't really hear you very well.
Can you hear me now?
Better than before.
Shall I increase my Can you hear me now, please?
Yeah, better than before.
Okay, yeah. I just want to ask you, when you listen to somebody who is distressed or in a difficult situation, if you must be non-judgmental and you must listen to that person without any feelings, is that the right way, rather than feeling sorry or like being very you also getting emotional, if you see, is that which way is the right way, please?
The right way is in the middle. So you need to have non-judgmental thoughts toward the speaker. So it is, I think Sigmund Freud also said so. So he said all the psychologists should listen to the patient without any distraction or any judgmental thoughts. That is how you can help that person. Otherwise, you know, what we do as a Sri Lankan especially, and as Asians mostly, we do the other person when the other person in a sad mood. So we also, how do you call it? It's like glowing. Yeah, so we also get
tears
that mood.
And tears comes out, you know.
Yeah,
you
so
like
So we think that is the way we should behave. I mean, okay, so we are showing in that sense, we are showing, okay, I feel your sorrow.
Yeah.
So that is what we do. But the good thing is not to show something, but to be strong and just listening. Because sometimes when we are having, when we, I don't know what is the word. So when we do the same thing, or when we go to the same mental situation, then we can't give a right advice to the person.
Okay.
We can be just a listener. When that person is crying, so we can cry and we can be a good listener. But if we need to give a advice, so we can't give good advice. Yeah, empathy, yes. So empathetic way. So we need to look at empathetic way. That is the word. So otherwise we are biased.
Okay.
Maybe that person is sad without any reason, maybe. Maybe the wrong reason she is sad or he is sad. So if that person is wrong with the wrong reason and we are also sad because she is sad, so we can't point out that wrong reason. So we can't give that the good advice. We can't deliver it.
Yeah, maybe we might increase her sadness as well by being emotional.
Yeah, in a way, I think so.
Yeah, that may be the reason most of the doctors are very non-judgmental and they just simply listen, isn't it, to patients. They don't get emotional.
No.
If
they get emotional, we can't have, you know, we can have open wounds and all those things. Because they can't do anything.
Yeah, I just wondered whether is that the right way to listen, because I normally get very hurt when somebody is in a sad situation. I get hurt.
Yeah, one thing I want to say, Hiranti, that when our mind is very fine-tuned, so we get easily sad with the other person. How do you call it? I can't
sorry.
Remember the
word. You feel sorry
yeah.
for
so,
the person?
It's not the sorry. I mean, api nikang aadesa karaganno ne. So we become, we go into her situation.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we must
we
be
should
strong.
Not.
We must be strong to maintain the...
Yeah, as a
equanimity.
Good listener, yes.
Equanimity,
yes.
So that we can grasp what she wants to convey, isn't it?
Yeah, rather than grasping, my point is, whether we can give a good advice or not, it also depends on our attitudes. So if we have a same kind of sorrow or sad feelings, and then we can't come to a good judge,
yeah,
or good remedy or good advice, because we are in the same boat. So we feel the same way, and we think the same, she, whatever she is doing, right.
Okay.
It is not always true. Sometimes it is not true. So the kind person always not right. So that person may be crying because of the anger. So we don't know. So if you are not listening in a middle way, I mean, in without any judgments, otherwise, then you can't understand the real situation. To understand the real situation, you need to, in a non-judgmental way or non-analyzing, or you shouldn't analyze also. Just listen, and when you give your 100% attention to the person or whatever you listen, then automatically will come the advice or will come the conclusion or whatever it is. Whenever you are trying to cry or whenever you are trying to absorb that person's feelings, then you can't give a clear conclusion. Whatever happened, because some people are coming to you and talking to you and explaining what has happened with the cry, that doesn't always mean that person is right. So I have so many experience like that. They come and they cry and they explain things and what has happened at a workplace or at home and so on, but they think they are right. But most of the time, they are not 100% right. So they can't see the other the empathetic way. So if they are mindful enough, then they can see, okay, what is my part and what is the other person's part. So at least 50% I have responsibility for the sorrow or whatever the happened. That's what Appe Lokaswami Nansa says. At once he asked me, what is your portion of that, whatever happened, what is your portion of, or what is the reasons you gave to that incident? So we all have. So we don't imagine or we don't think, because we always like to see me as a good person. I am good. Then we need to think that we also have bad part of our lives. As a person, we are not 100% good. We are not 100% bad also. So everyone else is like that. So we all have the bad and good. So if we can accept it, then there's no stress actually. If you can accept the other person's good part and the bad part. They all have wholesome and unwholesome thoughts. So if we think that the other person has only wholesome thoughts, so we are in a delusion. If we think the other person has only bad thoughts, it's also we are in a delusion. At least if we think I am a good person, that's also a delusion.
Thank you, Vendra Rohini. That was very useful and, you know, detailed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tirvan Sarnai.
Tirvan Sarnai.
Thank you, Hiranti, and thank you, Venerable. That was a very interesting question, and the answer as well. We got Sonali. You got a question. Go ahead, Sonali.
It's not so much a question, it's an observation that I have had in the last week. I mean, Venerable Manu was talking about having your mind on breathing during the session to be more mindful. And I've had a week of being unwell and had a blocked nose. And my observation was that I could not get my mind off my blocked nose the whole week. Even though I try, I mean, on a regular basis, it would be mind off in other things, and then I have to bring it back to the breath. But in this week, I couldn't get my mind off the breathing. It's so much more kind of an annoyance in a way, because I wanted to forget about it, how uncomfortable it was. And it just, yeah, my mind was almost 90% of the time was on purely on breathing. It was a bit comical in a way, because I could see how it was unfolding in front of me. However, I had no control over it. So I don't know if I was being mindful or being annoyed half the time with the situation. So it was an observation, Venerable Rohini, on that, on my part.
Yeah, it's a good observation. But next time, what you can do, you can see the whatever the awareness around nose or breath, and then you can observe your, at the same time you can observe your thoughts. If you could do that the next time, I'm not wishing you are going to have the sickness, but if something like that happened, even for, you know, when you hit somewhere, knock your feet or the toes or somewhere, then you feel the pain. And at the same time, if you can, you can practice it to watch the mind. What is the thought right now happening with the pain? So it is also something, the blocked nose is something, pain. Not the pleasurable, not the unpleasurable. It's in the middle pain, a kind of pain. So you can observe. Okay, so I am very, very aware of having that blocked nose, but what is my mind says? So I want to get rid of it. So that is not mindfulness. So you can analyze it. That is the thing. So now you are on the path. So now you can analyze it. Okay, now this is how my mind works. Before, I want to see the breath all the time and I can't. So it's go, come and go, come and go. Now it is, breath is there, but I don't like it. And that is how our mind works. It is same manner with the outside person or outside matter. Whenever something arises without my permission or without my wish, so I don't like it. If I wish something, if it is not coming, it's also I don't like. So it is all about me and my thoughts. So when we realize this more, again, just analyze it. So that is the best way to learn. Just analyze it. Why this? Why am I not liking it? What is the reason? So when you analyze it more and more, you come into conclusion that this is me, not something, not the blocked nose, not the someone else, no, nothing, but me, myself. I am the one who is getting angry or not angry. For example, when we walk or when we breathe in, sometimes we breathe the how do you call it, the heat elements. Sometimes we feel cold, sometimes we feel warm. So when we walk also, sometimes we feel cold and sometimes we feel warm on the surface. But in the same, when another person going or walking on the same place may say something different. Wherever you say cold, maybe someone else says it's warm, according to their body temperature. So likewise, it is all ourselves. We judge things and we label things. So it is all us. If we want to label it in a good manner, yes, we will label it. If we want to label it in a, okay, it's not good, so it is not good. So it is up to us. So when you realize by yourself, listen, by listening, yes, you know this. But when you realize by yourself, that is the day you are realizing, okay, they all are same, not only me. So no, there's no me.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. I think at times I was able to look at it in that perspective and analyze. I was feeling anxious about it, or I was feeling, the fact that I can still breathe. I know I'm not going to die, but it just feels like a huge burden at that point. And I could see this anxiety rising in me. And other times I know it's fine, I can watch it, but there's, yeah, I did feel some of it, but another times it was just too much for me to, I just wanted to breathe normally and be like everyone else. So, yeah, so I can definitely observe a little bit more. If the opportunity arises again, I will do that. Thank you, Venerable Rohini.
Thank you, Sonali, and Venerable. That was really amazing. I think my takeaway today is to increase my mindfulness and do the practice. And when Venerable said, we just received early the time, but I won't be long, non-judgmental, is that developing equanimity sort of thing? So when you're developing mindfulness, that will eventually lead to an equanimous mind with the brain. Change,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the left brain and the right brain work equally. Yes.
Yeah, that's lovely. And
but it comes automatically. You can't plan it. It just comes automatically with the practice.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's really good to know. Thank you, Venerable. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that there aren't any more questions, hands raised, then it's just gone 9 as well. So shall we, I'll pass you to Sonali to finish off the session. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. That brings us to the end of the session today. So I would like to thank everyone who sent reports to us. And to end the session, I'd like to thank Venerable Rohini for taking on today's session and guiding us. And also, we mustn't forget our usual guide, Venerable Homag Vedamukasila Thero, and also our Chief Abbot of Nisaranavanaya, Banthi Udavi Iriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero, whose idea was to initiate this program as well. May they all have used this merit to improve their own practice as well. And thank you to everyone who's behind the scene organizing and working really hard to keep this session going. And to everyone who participated via Zoom today and Facebook live stream, or anyone who may be watching later on. As usual, our program will always commence at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. And we will see you next week as well. And we wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. I will now end the session for everyone.